Let's turn our attention back to Job chapter 29, which we just barely got started on last time. Job is expressing his frustration with his acquaintances, his friends, that they would accuse him of being a great sinner, and that's why bad things are happening to him. So he's expressing his frustration with them on that, but he's also reaching out to God, that he wants to acknowledge that no matter what bad things happen to him, he knows that God is good and that God is the source of all wisdom. And he wishes that he could get back into that relationship he had with God before all these bad things happened. You know, the loss of his family members, the loss of his business, and the loss of his health. So Job chapter 29, verse 1, Job again took up his discourse and he said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old." So back before the bad stuff happened, several months ago. "As in the days when God watched over me." So, you know, kept things looking good. "When his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through the darkness." So this world is a dark place because of sin, being in the hearts of sinners. And God's light guided Job through that dark place. Verse 4 is that "I was in my prime when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me." Now, his kids are dead. They died in apparently a tornado or a straight line wind collapsing the house where they were gathered together on top of their heads. So he's thinking back, I wished I could go back to when my kids were still at home and everything was fine with them. Now, the next line is the line I quit on last session because, well, we ran out of time. But it sounds odd to our Western modern minds. "When my steps were washed with butter." Now, I've spilled butter on the tile in my kitchen and got very frustrated because then all of a sudden it was a very slick floor, and no matter how much I scrubbed it, it was still wanting to stay slick. So, you know, I wouldn't want my steps washed with butter. It would make it hard to walk. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about his life. His steps are his life. And butter was one of the delicious things of life. All of us, I think, probably enjoy the taste of good butter on our bread. And so he's basically talking about, "I wished I was back when I was prosperous and everything was delicious. The rock poured out for me streams of oil." Now, when they processed olive oil, they would put the olives into a bag, and then they would put that bag underneath a big heavy weight or a big press, and then they'd put a big heavy weight on the end of the lever that was extended from the press, and that weight would squeeze or crush the olives so that they would let loose their oil. And typically, the container that the bag of olives was sitting on underneath that heavy press was carved out of the rock. And it had a little spout outlet that would go into a reservoir. And so that's what he's kind of thinking about. "When my life was just full of blessings, like my olive oil crop, just pouring out in streams into my containers. When I went to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square." Now, the gate of the city and the square together, is a reference to the main entry point into a city where people set up a lot of their commerce, shops and booths and things of that nature. But it was also the place where transactions happened and where legal wranglings were worked out between individuals. And so those men of prominence and prestige in the city, the ones that had wisdom, would sit in the gate of the city from time to time to offer their services of working things out for other people. And so that's what Job would do. He would spend some of his time acting as what we would think of as a judge. When I went to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and they withdrew. So here he is. He's walking toward his place of judgeship, his leadership spot, and the younger guys are getting out of his way because they have great respect for him. And the aged rose and stood. So some of the older people, now this is pretty impressive, some of the older people who were respected themselves, when they saw Job coming, they would stand up to greet him to show how respected he was to them. Princes, noblemen basically, refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. So basically, when Job came, everybody else shut up to listen. So he was considered very wise. And so he's thinking back on that. I wished I was back when all that was true. When the ear heard, it called me blessed. When the eye saw, it approved. So what people heard, what people saw in Job's life back at that time, they thought that was great. Why? Well, because he was doing these sorts of things. And this is in direct opposition, by the way, to the accusations that his supposed friends have made against him, that he's a cheat. Verse 12, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. So people that were absolutely destitute, when they asked for assistance, Job helped. When kids ended up being orphaned and were in big time trouble, he stepped in to help them out. Verse 13, the blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me. So people that felt like they were at their last stage of life because of their situation, Job had fixed that. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. So he was an advocate, a defender of the widows. So he's basically looking out for the disenfranchised and the powerless. Verse 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. So he uses a nice simile here that just like he was dressed well, he wore righteousness and justice. He always tried to do the right thing by God's standards, and he tried to always do the fair thing by God's standard. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. So blind people could trust him to help them find their way. Lame people could expect him to make arrangements for them to get from point A to point B. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. So he became the father figure for many people in dire straits. And sometimes he'd run across somebody, he had no clue who they were, but it didn't matter. If they needed his help, he helped them. Verse 17, I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Now, that's an interesting word picture here. He's thinking about unrighteous people that are like wild animals, like a lion or a bear, and they have snatched somebody up in their greed and treated them in an unfair fashion. And Job swooped in and, metaphorically speaking, smacked them in the face so that they would let those people go. So he was being an advocate at law for people that were being abused and mistreated. And because of that, verse 18, then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Now that feels a little backwards to us. He basically says, I'm going to have a long life, and then I'm going to die at peace in my home. And he believed that that was the natural outflow of living a righteous and fair life, using his wealth and his influence, not for his own greedy purposes, but for the assistance of other people. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches. Psalm number 1 has a picture of the righteous person being like a tree next to a water source. And so that's an image that he is using here. My glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. So he portrays himself accurately as a good guy. Verse 21, men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. So he's already said that that was the case. People shut up and listen, because when he says something, it's important and could be very, very helpful. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. Again, some more imagery here of the enjoyment of a nice, fresh rain after a dry spell. And I don't know if you've ever done it, but I know I've seen people do it. I've done it myself. Just lift my head up, my face up toward the sky when it started to rain, and open my mouth and just let it drop in there. And that's what he's saying, is I'm like a refreshing rain after a dry spell for these folks. I smiled on them when they had no confidence. Doesn't a smile make a difference? When somebody is having a really rough time, and maybe I'll just express this in my own feelings. Sometimes when I'm having the really rough time, really just horrible, and I raise my eyes, and somebody across the room, sometimes it's a perfect stranger, a complete stranger, locks eyes with me and just smiles. Just that expression of, hey, I see you, I acknowledge you, and I hope things are getting better for you. That's what can be expressed by a smile in that context. And he says, I smiled on them when they had no confidence. Just tried to lighten their life a little bit. And the light of my face, they did not cast down. You know, when you see somebody across the room and they smile at you, what do you do back? Well, I hope you smile back, because that's the polite thing to do. And that's kind of what he's saying here. I chose their way, and I sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. So he's not portraying himself as an overbearing ruler here, somebody that has power and wields it heavily. He's portraying himself as a guy that has resources, yes, but he wants to use them for God and for people to make their lives easier. If only there were more Jobs in the world. Okay, now, chapter 30. Having given that introduction, then he complains a bit, and I think appropriately so. But now they laugh at me. So some of the people that he'd been helping, they are now laughing about the fact that he's lost his businesses, he's lost his family, he's lost his status in the community. And so they're laughing at him, even after he'd been helpful. Men who are younger than I. Now, you've heard me say on a couple of occasions now, my guess is that Job is probably in his early 30s. Excuse me, in his early 40s. I think it's possible his wife might be in her late 30s, maybe early 40s as well. Why do I say that? Because they will raise another family together. That will come up at the end of the book. So they have to be fairly young, but they are also old enough that he is treated as a respectful leader of the society. And so early 40s is kind of the break point where that starts happening. Late 30s, early 40s. So men who are younger than I, so we're talking about probably early 20s or in their 20s, maybe early 30s, maybe down into their teens. Men who are younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to set with the dogs of my flock. So he has sheep dogs, working dogs, and they have to be taken care of. You know, dogs don't just work on their own. They have to have a handler. And so he says, some of the people that are laughing at me now, at my circumstances, their dads were not of the character that I would have hired as my dog handlers. What could I gain from the strength of their hands? Men whose vigor is gone. They want and hard, they through want and hard hunger, they gnaw the ground, dry ground in night or by night in waste and desolation. So some of these guys have fallen on hard times themselves because of their inappropriate lifestyle. And yet they're laughing at Job. They pick saltwort and the leaves of bushes and the roots of the broom tree for their food. So they're basically having to live off of the wild plants because they don't have a job. They are driven out from human company. They shout after them as after a thief. You know, so they're desperate in a lot of this. In the gullies of the torrents they must dwell. So they're living out in the canyons, we would say. In holes of the earth and in the rocks. Among the bushes they bray like a donkey. So that he pictures them like wild donkeys in the little canyons of the wilderness. Under the nettles they huddle together. A senseless, a nameless brood. They have been whipped out of the land. So he says, some of these people that are now laughing at me are people I would have never hired. They've brought bad times upon themselves because of their misbehaviors. But do you know what's happening? Those guys are now laughing at me. Verse 9, now I've become their song. I'm a byword to them, you know, a joke. They abhor me. They keep aloof from me. They do not hesitate to spit at the sight of me. Now, this is a way of showing your disgust and contempt for someone, is to spit in their presence or in their direction. And why are they doing this? Because God has loosened my cord and humbled me. Again, Job makes the assumption that the bad things happening to him must be from God's hand. And so he says, because of what God has done to me, taken me down, they have cast off restraint in my presence. So they used to at least get out of his way because they knew he was a power player. Now, no, they don't care. On my right hand, the rabble rise. They push away my feet. They cast up against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They need no one to help them. As through a wide breach they come, amid the crash they roll on. So they're like assaulting him. They're coming against him. They're trying to make matters worse. Terrors are turned upon me. My honor is pursued as by the wind, and my prosperity has passed away like a cloud. So he's in a mess, and he's frustrated by the fact that the people who rightfully have gotten themselves in trouble because of their misbehaviors, their bad attitudes, those types of unrighteous people are now making a mockery of him and mistreating him. And it's a pitiful situation. I mean, I would imagine some of you are aware that from time to time, individuals with no proper respect for other people will sometimes go into areas where homeless people are and do nasty things to the homeless people, steal their stuff, trash their places, whatever it is that they could just make fun of those people's situation. That's kind of what Job is describing these guys are doing to him. Verse 16. Now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. The night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. So he's back to describing what it feels like to be him at this time. He hurts all the time, and the pain doesn't go away at night. With great force, my garment is disfigured. It binds me about like the collar of my tunic. And so his physical frame is uncomfortable. He is not comfortable in his own skin right now. It feels as if he's getting choked a lot. God has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry out to you for help. You don't answer me. I stand. You only look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. You lift me up on the wind. You make me ride on it, and you toss me about in the roar of the storm. For I know that you will bring me to death, to the house appointed for all living. So this is him at the end of all this, kind of frustrated with God, because he's been saying, God, if you just come and tell me why, if you just give me a chance to talk to you about it, we could get this thing sorted out. But no matter how much I complain, I'm not hearing from you. And I know it's all going to end with me just dying. Verse 24, yet does not one in a heap of ruins stretch out his hand and in his disaster cry for help? See, doesn't a person in a disaster zone actually ask for assistance? Did not I weep for him whose day was hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? Now he's back to, you know, the idea that he'd been helpful to other people. He says, didn't I cry for people when they were in trouble? Didn't it hurt me inside when I saw that they were hurting? But, verse 26, when I hoped for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. Jesus says, I don't understand why I'm not getting pity here. Because remember, he said all sorts of bad people are abusing him, mistreating him, making matters worse. My inward parts are in turmoil and never still. Days of affliction come to meet me. So he has that feeling inside of him that nothing is right. And everything is wrong. I go about darkened, but not by the sun. His skin is being affected. We know this got big boils on it, open sores and things. And those are scabbing over whenever they don't have maggots infesting them. But apparently all of his skin is getting blacker and blacker for some reason. I stand up in the assembly and I cry for help. So he's begging people that are in leadership positions, help me, help me. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere where only animals are. My skin turns black and falls from me. So another description of what's going on with his body. Whatever ailment is affecting his skin right now, makes it turn dark and eventually break open into wounds. My bones burn with heat, so he's feverish. My lyre is turned to mourning. So his happy sounds, you know, when you're happy and you got your music going, that's good. But then here he says, my lyre tune has turned into a mourning tune, a sad tune, my pipe to the voice of those who weep. So he is now grieving rather than celebrating. Come back next time and we'll see what else Job has to say.